Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
The enemy, this particular prophetic word that was written sometime back, and the thing about prophecy, it's history in advance. So what happens is history in advance, which means it's not happened yet, but it's written out, you know, verbatim to what is taking place. And in that, so when you start living out what the prophecy was, it'll feel like you've been there before, you've done that before. And that's what really prophecy is. It's history in advance. And we're in it. The prophecy is being fulfilled rapidly. And this one particular book that was written prophetically by Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries called The Harvest, it is a perfect time. For you to take a moment and to read it. And we're reading excerpts from it and discussing it and just really loving it. And you can catch it. I believe it even, Pat even has his own menu selection there for on the torch or something.
Apparently.
Yes, yes.
And it's called The Harvest by Rick Joyner or something. And just the conversations, you know, this is kind of how we learn nowadays. This is kind of like the modern day scribe. As I think even Rick Joyner gave a word like that about the modern day scribe. I mean, we don't have the Gutenberg printing press.
No.
Can you imagine, like, we need a T and an H and an E. We got to put the word the down. We can just go the. Times have progressed. And, but the sad part of this particular loud keyboard prophecy is that, the fact that it's the enemy inside of America's greater than the enemy outside of America. Yeah. Right now, most people are focused outside of America. And I want to talk about that today because I know you feel it. You know, if you've been, you know, just alive, you're feeling it. You may be responding differently. You may be responding in such a way that, you know, denial, and that's one way that you can survive by just going, no, it's not true. No, it's not true. No, mm-hmm. I'm not fat. I am not overweight. It's not true. Then you have to avoid mirrors and all that kind of stuff. You know, avoid that'd be prophecy, right? word of knowledge mirror. Right?
Look in the mirror. Look in the mirror.
That's the biggest app I've ever seen for in my life. Anyway, so then another way to do it is to begin to just kind of explain it away. You know, it always happens like this. You know, people are dead across the land. Hurricanes have brought disaster, earthquakes are going on, and somebody has some logical explanation. It's like, but if I was caught in the crack of the quake at San Francisco and I'm dead, I would have loved for you not to explain it away, to let me know this was coming.
That's right.
And so the biggest enemy is logic. Biggest enemy is logic. And where men try to put their mind on
human reasoning.
Yeah, reasoning, because first of all, God is in total, complete, absolute 100% control. And nothing happens, just like he said, not even a bird falls from the sky without his permission. And not only are the hairs on your head, does he know how many hairs you have on your head, but each of those hairs are numbered. I mean, they have a number. You know, Pat is having less and less numbers. It's easier for him to keep track. John refuses to grow out the number.
That's right.
I think he should grow his hair. Right to us, let
he
us know.
To let us know.
I mean, all that hair, you don't. I mean, it's just amazing that the stuff that's hidden inside.
It's amazing.
And those molecules, or what do you call it, curlicues. And so that's probably the one that's just really. I've got to pray, Lord, help me. They're explaining away the water parting. Well, this is why the Red Sea parted. You know, and the finally the other is just acknowledge this is God. God's in control. And in that we are walking into that prophecy right now, but things are happening. And we are, if you've been with us for all this time, you've been hearing us prophesy, this is going to happen. And then you've been seeing it happen. What's so good about how God's given us the wisdom to do it, you can actually go back and you can see and hear and read the prophecies that have been given. And you can say, okay, that was given, you know, 2 years ago, and now it's happening today. And so you can begin to build your confidence that God does speak. And in this book, The Harvest, know that this is a prophecy. And it was written some time ago, but now we're in it. It's coming to pass and rapidly. And one is that the southern border is being flooded. And the northern border is being flooded. And it's really, you know, You know, if you think about men, you can get really offended and you can get really angry because it appears like, you know, that, you know, Peter is tempting you not to go to Jerusalem. But the truth is, if you can misjudge Peter and not realize Satan's using Peter to say, don't go to Jerusalem. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He didn't say, get behind me, Peter. What he said to Peter later on, he says, look, listen, Satan looks to sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that your faith won't fail you. That's how we should be with men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Satan is the one that's scheming. Satan's the one that's planning. And that's the one that we should be binding. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness and high places. And so, but we can take authority over those spirits and understand this, that right now it's really easy because a lot of people are being used right now by the adversary to do evil things. And you can see America being walked off a cliff, you know, outside the grace of God. You know, it wouldn't stop. But, you know, God, some of the prophetic words are that, you know, that at one point the church is going to awake, repent, and God's going to respond. I mean, God's full of mercy. When you think about the goodness of God, if anybody knew God intimately, it was King David.
Hmm.
And he was tempted by Satan. Satan reared up against him and incited him, and he went and began to count his strength, and he began to count God out. And in that, God was furious with him. God was furious with him. And in that, God said, okay, here it is. I'm going to discipline you. And he gave him three alternatives. And two of them had to do with men doing terrible things to Israel and to him. And one of them had to do with God doing terrible things to Israel. And he said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God who's merciful than to the hands of men. Mm-hmm. And that just really proves a big thing here, that don't count God out in your remedy. Realize men held captive by darkness can be evil. I mean, look what's taking place right now in the world, what's taking place in Middle East. I mean, these guys really believe what they're saying. If you miss Sean Hannity on Fox News and heard this dialogue from one of these leaders in the ISIS viewpoint, Hamas viewpoint, radical Islam, caliphate, if you heard that, you have to understand, even though it may seem wild to you and seem unbelievable to you, this man believes that.
Mm-hmm.
And like some of our leaders have said, they said, listen, you know, you need to, I believe it's from New Jersey. I think it's Princeton or Harvard, but he's speaking a lot quite often. He's been speaking on several programs. And he's saying, you have to believe these guys. When they say this is what they want to do.
Princeton,
you have to believe them because they're going to do it. This is what they believe. And they believe that that's for their God. That's what their God wants. And truly, you know, when Jesus looked at the Sadducees, he looked at the Pharisees, and he said, you do have a God. He said, you do have a Father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's serving something. Everybody. And he said, but your father is Satan. So he didn't say you're not following anybody. You're actually not following God, you know, of the universe. You're following your father, Satan.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Jesus said. So when you're not following God, you're not following Jesus. That's one way you're going to know, because Jesus made the Father known to us. Then you're following darkness.
Mm.
And you can see it's a really good picture of hell right now, what hell looks like. The difference is in this life that you can actually die and it ends. But hell is eternal torment. So it's almost like you get ripped apart. You experience the pain. Based on those that have been there, Jesus said, there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Understand, if you were to die and your life was to end, like a lot of dark teachings have taught, then I mean, it's just a moment of death and it's over. But if it's one continual torment and weeping of gnashing of teeth, it's like that same experience over and over again. And, you know, God would that no man would die.
Mm-hmm.
He rejoices in no one that died. He died for us. He wants to give us, you're made in the image and likeness of God. He wants to live with you forever. It began in the garden, and he wants to continue it on into all eternity, but we have to make that choice. Which trees are we going to eat from? What are we going to do? And so all these other false religions, I mean, even I know why they changed their name from ISIS to ISIL, because they found out when they probably Googled ISIS that it's a false god. And it nailed them to the T, by the way. It nailed them to the T. It was the throne that allowed the pharaohs to sit on, you know, and imitated, you know, all kinds of things. And it's like, they're like, oh man, did you Google ISIS? We got to change it to ISIL. Because it was one of those Dagon, you know, Shira,
wow,
you know, thing. And it's like, but it's evil. It is so evil. But that's what hell's like. That's what Satan thinks of you being created in the image of the likeness of God. And so understanding that when we hear what's going on, God lets us know so we can, he looks for somebody to intervene in a plan that would bring destruction. Even if God is fastening the storm against Jerusalem, fastening the storm against America. And he says that's what he does. And then he puts a prophet, somebody that blows the trumpet, on a watchman on the wall. And his job or her job is to look over the wall, see the storm that God is fashioning, and then look to the people and begin to tell them, hey, there's a storm coming this way, like Jehoshaphat. They looked over, saw the storm. See, Jehoshaphat prepared. You got our partners. You got to go get Josiah and you got to watch it, listen to it. Because he did the right thing. He prepared. And this is what God says. If you hear the watchman on the wall and you repent, because a lot of times we just feel like, oh, man, if I've offended God this much that a storm is coming against me, then there's nothing really I can do. I just got to take the blows.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is, he loves you. He's merciful. The storm is to be able to motivate us to run back to him and seek forgiveness. Mm-hmm. I'd rather fall in the hands of the merciful God. What David said. But he said if they don't repent, then the storm that he's intended is going to come. And it's like, my goodness, we need to pay attention. And so we're going to talk about this enemy within, starting from this prophetic word given by Rick Joyner and written in The Harvest. And I encourage you, it's time to read it. You'll be reading about you're living in this prophecy. And it's going to encourage you because you're going to see what to do with it. Well, we're reading from the book The Harvest. Pat, if you could, we're going to read just an excerpt from this, and the title of the chapter is
The Persecution.
Yeah, and it's talking about the, you know, what's going to happen. And remember this, that when persecution begins, the harvest begins to come in.
Hmm.
When Ananias and Sapphira fell out, it says the fear of the Lord spread, which is the awareness of God, the awareness of our sin, in the awareness of the cross, and our only remedy is Jesus Christ, that's the fear of the Lord. Then we begin to run to the cross and seek for forgiveness. And it says, then the church spread, it grew. And so the church is not a building. More people said yes to Jesus Christ. That's what that means. And so go ahead and read from that. And we want to talk about, because he talks about the enemy within. Mm-hmm. Talks about the enemy within.
All right, he says, there will be a period of time when the United States will have a hot border to the south with almost daily clashes and casualties. Internal pressures will have caused such a lack of resolve that she will even yield large sections of her own territory to invaders by failing to use the force required to stop them. At that time, the enemies within will be greater than those without.
And so, you know, this was written some time back, and it just lets us know that was going to happen, and now it's happened. You know, we just gotta face the facts. We don't want to say that, but the truth is, right now we have Americans that are flying over, according to reports by CBN, by Fox News, probably by CNN and all, that are going over to fight in the Middle East. The man who beheaded the American journalist, the hero, the martyr, James Foley, was British, and according to reports, they know who he was. He went from Great Britain over to do this, to fight in this jihad. For purpose of a caliphate, or hegemony. Can we say that in the words that we understand? He went to fight in this holy war for to force people to live up under this book called the Quran and its rules. And I have a caliphate, to have that form of government, which means every other government goes. There's one thing this man said on, you know, Sean Hannity, was that is the ultimate goal. which is great. It's good. It's good that clarity comes at the end of 10 minutes of interruptions. And says, in many words, a man is without sound, something. And so so here we are, and we don't want to say that. But you know this, if we're all alone, if we're all by ourselves, think about this, we're all by ourselves, and nobody's around, we still have an enemy within. I mean, we got our own,
that's right.
You know, Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he said, you know, I got something inside of me waging war against the law of my mind. But then that's a battle going on, which that's a good battle if you're depending on the finished work of Jesus Christ. But if you have somebody else that just gave up on that battle and they're going for darkness,
right. That's
horrific. And we have Americans. I believe the first American, maybe the second one now, but we definitely, I think it's been confirmed where the first American has got his passport, has went over and fought in this concept of holy war, jihad, caliphate, Islamic rule, radical Islam. And they're calling themselves over all the Muslim people, which is not true, because I know that a lot of Muslim folks would be saying, you're not over us.
Right.
But that's what they're saying, and I don't hear you saying that.
That's right.
The silent majority, as Bridget said. Please speak up. And in that, the reports are, according to CBN, as he's interviewing some of the folks from northern Iraq, he says that there's nobody to turn to now. There's nobody, because even the silent majority, when ISIS came into their cities, the Muslims who were their friends forever, that you could always turn to, the friend, you know, the moderate Muslims who could live alongside of Christians and Christians, Muslims and Zaydis and all those guys, that now they actually begin to fly the ISIS flag over their homes and began to turn on the Christians and the Zaydis.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand, if you look at the Quran and understand from a Christian's viewpoint, that they denied that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They accept that Jesus Christ is a prophet. But he has to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God, and he's going to be the helpmate of.
Hmm.
You have to understand that's the anti-Jesus Christ, and is an anti-Jesus Christ religion. It's anti-Christ religion, and they probably have no problem saying that because they don't believe that's the truth.
Right.
In Mecca, they're waiting for their Savior to come out of the hole in the ground there. That's why they're walking around that hole, and a well they call it, and So if you're befriending folks and you're walking with folks and you're thinking, you know, this is my great friend, we've been together for years. I mean, if they have a choice between their life and their death, and all they have to do is just seem more dedicated to the Quran during times of persecution, and they don't lose their head and they don't lose their life and they don't lose their home, and they don't have to renounce their faith because they don't have any faith in Jesus Christ. They have faith in Allah. That's what their faith is in. So for them, hey, let's just fly a flag that lets them know that we are Muslim.
Hmm.
You can't fly that flag. As a Christian, you can't fly that flag because we were maybe being kind and loving and all that stuff we're supposed to do to the Muslim people in that particular region. But they had an out in regards to ISIS. You don't have an out. I was listening to Greta interview a former FBI advisor, hostage negotiation on Fox News that I think is for maybe President Bill Clinton or George Bush. And she said, well, don't you think, talking about the journalists that are in right now and taken by ISIS, she said, do you think that this would help out if they actually just accepted their faith, you know, and just became a Muslim? And he goes, well, that is definitely a way to be able to show respect for your enemy by, you know, joining their faith. And Greta says, well, you know, no Christian's going to do that. And the guy comes back and says, that's every one of our tests. It was a beautiful prophecy.
Wow.
Every one of us has a choice. Are we? And think about it. People have told you this. People have told you that if you say a prayer, it don't matter what you do. If you deny Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, and then you lose your ability to breathe and run air over your vocal cords and thoughts in your brain, your feet are going to be standing before the throne room of God being judged for denying him. That's the reality of it. And think about this. That's how true it is that he is the Son of God, because why in the world would you be coming into our city trying to get me to deny someone for what you're doing? It's because he's true. He's his true God. I mean, nobody in the plane's going down. They're not calling out for Buddha. They're not calling out for Muhammad. They're screaming Jesus. Every man knows in their heart.
They know it.
And so what happens is, and really truly in the context of understanding that, it's very good, because we've been really deceived by religion, thinking that you can, I mean, the first thing the Pope did was go pray with an imam. First thing the present Pope Francis did was go pray with an imam, somebody over the Muslim people in the faith, in Islam. And they bowed and prayed together. And it's like, but you're praying supposedly two separate gods, you know? And friendship with the enemy is friendship with
hatred towards the Lord.
Hatred towards God. Hatred towards
God.
And so here we are, you know, this whole thing that you see outwardly, understand that it was there was a beginning start to it. And we talked about it in Organizers of the Night versus Organizer of the Day. And they've been trying to organize around different tactics. And there's a tactic that's been drawn in a book called Rules for Radicals that was derived from, according to its author, Satan. You know, what Lucifer did, the first one to actually use these principles, which are just fleshly, carnal ways of being able to get your way. It's manipulation. And America, from day one of our current leadership, they have been organizing against America as we know it to fundamentally transform it. And so we can look over there at ISIS and the Middle East, and we could think, you know, what's their problem? And we can look over Mexico and Guatemala and all their, what's their problem? And we can look over there instead of realizing, wait a minute, we are being redistributed over the face of the earth. The wealth, the power, everything's being redistributed. The enemy within is bigger than the enemy without. So the word is talking about the enemy is within is worse than the enemy without. It's important for us. We're being distracted now. So many things have been orchestrated inside of America to where now you got to get America not to pay attention to herself as she's being fundamentally transformed. Does she deserve it? That's not the point. Everybody on the face of this earth deserves nothing good. But God is good. If we turn to God, God's full of mercy. So it's not about do we deserve it. He says everyone's righteousness is like filthy rags. So this like deserving thing. And if we sin, we can ask God to forgive us.
Yeah.
We can forgive individually, as a community, as a state, as a nation. We can repent before God. And that's that. It's not that men have been perfect ever. It's the fact that they've repented. They've acknowledged their sin. And so that's how good God is, by the way. John?
Yes, we're getting ready to watch. This is amazing footage, a mini documentary, if you will, about fighters that are being recruited from the United States to go fight jihad. You got to see this.
Minnesota. Watch.
Welcome to this For the Record update. I'm Lori Dew. In November 2013, For the Record presented Minnesota Martyrs. That investigation showed the connections between the Somali American community in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and the Al-Qaeda-affiliated terrorist group Al-Shabaab. For the Record revealed that since 2007, dozens of young men from the Twin Cities have traveled to Somalia to join the jihad. Some Somali American families began to report that their sons were killed fighting for radical Islam, including at least three who were trained as suicide bombers. Since our episode aired, more Somali Americans have left the U.S. to fight in the Middle East, mainly in Syria and Iraq. This trend could lead to a new threat on U.S. soil, as For the Record presents Minnesota Martyrs.
When the radicalization problem first reared its head, as far as the FBI in Minneapolis is concerned, was in the fall of 2007. We received reports of young men of Somali descent in Minnesota disappearing from their homes.
Who was missing before it happened to us was a kind of a mystery. People would whisper things. But what was not a mystery was the radicalization. Calls for jihad was an open game.
Abdi Rizik Bihi is a Somali-American who lives in Minneapolis. In November 2008, his nephew was recruited and radicalized by Al-Shabaab. Bihi is now the executive director of the Somali Education and Social Advocacy Center.
It would happen all the time at the convention center, Minneapolis Convention Center. These imams would call the community and call for jihad, anti-Ethiopia, because Ethiopia invaded Somalia. That's what they would use. They would ask young people to go fight. That was common.
While official estimates vary, Bihi says since 2007, more than 50 young men from the community have answered the call of jihad. Officially, at least 15 Somali Americans have been reported killed fighting alongside members of Al-Shabaab, and all of them were recruited in their community.
There's a one mosque that was leading this charge.
Where is that?
That is the mosque called Abu Bakr as-Siddiq Mosque. All the missing, all the indicted, and all those who have been sentenced to jail here, who are in jail now, including the janitor of that mosque, are all from the same mosque out of 40 mosques around here. They declared a jihad on us. They asked their congregations to run their cars on us. They told them that we were not looking for kids. There are no missing kids. They told them we were paid by the infidel to destroy the Islamic society. They lied.
Since 2007, the FBI has investigated and prosecuted multiple Al-Shabaab cases in the area. But leaders say those actions haven't stopped the ongoing radicalization of youth.
It will not stop. They might have changed the venue. They don't preach in the mosque anymore. The venue always changes. Al-Shabaab is an entity, or like Al-Qaeda, that can change overnight.
Since For the Record filed this story, the FBI has reported that the call to jihad has expanded beyond Somalia. In June 2014, Minnesota Public Radio reported that based on information obtained from the FBI, as many as 15 Somali American men have left Minnesota to join the jihadi groups ISIS and Jabhat al-Nusra in Iraq and Syria.
Jabhat al-Nusra is a designated terrorist organization. It's the official al-Qaeda affiliate in Syria. And if they're raising money and recruiting in mosques, not just in Minneapolis, but in Columbus, Ohio, Boston, Atlanta, San Diego, and some of these other cities where we have large Somali populations, that's a serious problem.
In May 2014, Manar Mohammed Abu Salah from Palm Beach County, Florida, is believed to be the first American citizen involved in a suicide bombing in Syria. In June 2014, The Washington Post reported that the Director of National Intelligence, James Clapper, testified that Jabhat al-Nusra has aspirations for attacks on the homeland, and that al-Qaeda groups have established camps to train people to go back to their countries. There have been no known efforts by groups in Syria to attack the United States, but plots elsewhere have been attributed to spillover from Syria. A French jihadist who had been in Syria was arrested after killing three people in a shooting at a Belgian Jewish museum on May 24, 2014.
The new stage that we're looking at is the transnational network that's being developed amongst all these jihadist groups as a result of the jihad in Syria.
Poole says the expansion and recruitment of the jihadist network worldwide has been active for more than 30 years.
When you think about how the problem that resulted from the jihad in Afghanistan during the 1980s against the Soviets, and in that case, we're talking about hundreds of what were called Arab-Afghan fighters, and as a result of that came Al-Qaeda. Now we're talking about thousands and possibly more than 10,000 of these foreign fighters operating in Syria. And the problem in terms of potential blowback, terrorism blowback here in the United States and in the West is exponential.
You're looking at this enemy within, and this thing has been building. According to the Wall Street Daily, talking about America's, the world's new public enemy number one is the leader of ISIS.
Mm.
And before there was any release at Gitmo or anything of that nature, long before, this is what they say, long before Barack Obama started releasing prisoners from Guantanamo Bay, he infamously emptied the U.S.-run detention camps in Iraq. And guess who was actually in that detention camp that he released? It was the leader of ISIS today.
Oh, wow.
And the reports are this is the reports. He says, allegedly, he says, "I'll see you in New York." And since then, they've been working intently. And now look what's happening. Look what's happening since then. And it's like a bad alliance has been made with America. The alliance has been made with those who believe in caliphates, those that believe in the rule of the Islamic rule over all constitutions and all kings and all princes. And in the extreme version of that, believe that... you either convert, become a slave, servitude, pay a tax, or you die. And what we're seeing take place presently right now in a community of moderate Muslims is that when they see ISIS come in, the radical version of the belief of the Quran, they just fly the ISIS's flag over their houses. This is what CBN's reporting. So they have an out because they've never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So yeah. they're not, they have nothing to renounce. They can even if they're not for ISIS, they can fly ISIS flag because at least they're just saying, hey, they just went too overboard with the Quran. You know, it's not like that. But you cannot say that Muhammad is correct as a Christian because he denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. The Quran says that he's not the Son of God. So we have this whole thing happening within, and that happened in 2009. So this whole strategy, and this is what's been said recently, as they're finding out, this whole plan has been going on for 4 years. They've been strategizing. This is a strategic plan being unfolded in the Middle East. And like I said in the previous program, we're going to talk about our next program. This whole thing is going to flank. It's going to take a 90-degree turn as all these guys gather up, all these radical Islams and the ones that are willing, Islam, that are willing to fly the flag of ISIS and come together like that. They're going to flank and they're going to turn 90 degrees, and it's going to be towards the Mediterranean. It's going to be towards Israel. They want to push Israel into the sea, and you're going to begin to see that. And this could this be the 7 months to bury the dead and 7 years to burn the weapon prophecy, where all of a sudden the eyes of the Jews open up and they see God has delivered us, God has set us free? Could this be the moment that John Paul Jackson talked about? Have they used all their weapons? Is there anything left? Could this be the moment that Jim Baker talked about, that they found nuclear material in Kedron Valley? Is this the moment? You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.